You. I know your names, and so grateful for your presence today. A couple visitors, we're thankful for your presence here too. Those of you online, thanks for joining us this morning as well. This is a beautiful community of faith, and you have chosen a good morning to get up and be here today. We have some great songs chosen. We're going to read a confession prayer a little bit later. Psalm 23 will guide our morning. It's just a good day to be here. So thank you for your presence. Up on the screen in just a second, you might see some cards that you might want to fill out. So there's, trust me, there are some blue ones. If you have any information to pass along to the office, you can put that there. So yellow ones for some encouragement to folks in our community, in our neighborhood, and those pink ones, some heart response cards. If you have a prayer need or request, you can fill that out and give that to our shepherding team. All right, would you stand, please? Our gathering, our call to worship today comes from John chapter 9. Larry's going to read that. Let's remain standing for the two songs that follow, please.
As Jesus went along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told them, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home singing. Remain standing now as we sing together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. (Clears throat) There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain? Come, 'tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call, 'tis a fountain open for all. There's a lock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water shed. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
Throughout this Lenten season, we have been reading communal prayers of confession. Here is this morning's. I will read the parts in white. Would you please join me for the parts in yellow? There are two slides on this one. Let's pray together. God of mercy, you sent Jesus Christ to seek and save the lost. We confess that we ourselves have strayed from you and turned aside from your way. We are misled by pride, for we see ourselves as whole when we are broken, as great when we are small. We have failed in love, neglected justice, and ignored your truth. Have mercy on us, O God, and forgive our sin. Return us to paths of righteousness through Jesus Christ our Savior. For it's because of Christ we pray. Amen.
Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh, fold me close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin with its follies, I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp, and its pride, give me but Jesus, thy Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee, nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open my ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus.
All right, our Young Roots friends can move back to the table if they would like. There goes Miss Brandy and Ellery. We're so grateful for your presence in the life of this congregation. I'm also thankful to Virgil Fry last week, who preached in my stead. I hear he did a great job. I have not listened to it yet, but I've heard from several of you who were present for that and sent me comments, and I'm very grateful to receive that. Glad whenever Virgil gets to visit us and preach in that way. And I'm also glad to be back today. We had a great time out of Houston for a week for spring break, and very grateful to be here this morning. Larry, thanks for leading singing this morning. We appreciate that. In a few minutes, Ken is going to read our scripture for today, and thank you in advance for that. Well, let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God, and earnestly this day we seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? For it's through Christ we pray. Amen. Four Sundays into Lent now. How you doing? You okay? If you gave something up for Lent, how's that going? If you added something in as a Lenten discipline, are you following through with it? In this season of repentance, have you done any self-reflection, taking a good look at yourself in the mirror? Or have you just preferred that others change instead, wishing that they would look a little bit more like you? Lent is, or it can be, a harsh season. Demanding, determined, letting go, focused. For those of us who walk the Lenten wilderness, trying to keep up with Jesus is not the easiest practice. Dying to self never is. If you are not aware that the Christ is always with you, you might be tempted to think that Jesus is way ahead, that you'll never be good enough or strong enough or faithful enough to reach him. The Psalms we have been preaching through, admittedly, have at times reinforced that not enough mindset. Psalm 32, our first one. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up as by the heat of the summer. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, from where will my help come? And last week, Psalm 95, for 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger, I swore that they shall never enter my rest. I'm picking and choosing verses, no doubt, but the point is that the Psalms of Lent as a whole are challenging and invasive. They open an active investigation into your soul. They grab a key to that brain of yours and probe around. They take a spotlight to your heart, shining a blinding beam into the darker places where fear and sin and death typically reside. So how about this morning we take a rest day? It's okay to do that, to slow down, to pause, to sit. The journey's speed will only pick up from here with just 3 weeks left of Lent, with Jerusalem and its cross within earshot. Our psalm today is like an oasis in the desert, a stream of living water, a bit of sustenance to fill our bellies. Let's listen in.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He restores my soul for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the shadow of mine enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thanks, Ken. It's a poem, Psalm 23. It's a poem distinguished and cherished and loved for generations and millennia by persons of faith, by people of hope. It's bookmarked by the red ribbon in well-worn Bibles. It's prayed through during the waking hours of the morning. It's referenced in the mind in the too quiet still of the night. It's a poem that of-age people, at least semi-familiar with the Bible, are familiar with. Rev them up with the poem's opening line and watch them recite six verses they did not know they knew anymore. King James Version, of course. There's a poetic power in Psalm 23, a hypnotizing rhythm about it, a spiritual hum that echoes between it and you. Hold it up to a light, rotate it in your hands, notice its shape, its cracks, its beauty. The light shining through it illumines not just the poem, but you as well. You become transparent. Your own life has shape and cracks and beauty. Poems can do that. They can help us hear the world afresh. To the degree with which we listen, poems help us see what we have been missing. They help us remember what we've forgotten. In high school, I never could have said such a thing. So bored to tears was I when I had to read poets who wrote in archaic language that made no sense, the prose of it way too long to keep my interest. And then you had to write a paper about what it meant. In a word, blah. That began changing for me when I heard for the first time a real live poet read their writings aloud. It was in the early 2000s, and a writer in his 70s named Donald Hall visited Abilene, Texas, and I took Chelsea Fletcher, whom I was dating at the time, with me to listen to him, knowing not a single thing about him other than there was an event in Abilene, Texas. And when there is an event in Abilene, Texas, you go because in small towns, events are few and far between. Donald read from a stool poems that he had penned himself, and his words came alive in me. His voice, his inflection placed just so, because that's how he intended it to be heard. I didn't know that language could do that, I thought. Mingle and intertwine, woo and dance, commune and stick. Nowadays, I marvel at how poets, my favorite ones at least, can build something using nothing but words. An engineer can develop blueprints and then see it become a hospital or a school. A chef can jot down a recipe and whisk ingredients together to become someone's dinner. But a poet's words, what do they become? They become an inspiration, an imagination, a revelation, a response, a truth. Psalm 23 is such a poem, an imagination, a response. It is affluent in metaphor, rich in imagery. It stirs the soul. 5 years ago, our good friend and brother Robert Barboza came up to me after a Sunday morning service. "Steve, I want you to come to my house so that we can plan my funeral." "I can do that," I said. The following Tuesday, I drove the half mile from my office to his house. He greeted me weakly and told me to sit close to him. And he immediately showed me on Google Maps where a funeral home was located. This is where the service will be held, and next to it is a cemetery where I will be buried. From there, we talked details. "Yes, I would like you to preach." "No, don't preach too long." "Here are the songs that Lupe thought would go well with the service. A time of remembrances is just fine. Eat together at the church building, please. God has been speaking to me through Isaiah 53. Read that. For the sermon, use Psalm 23. A month later, I did indeed speak from Psalm 23 for Robert's funeral. And though he slept in a casket not far from where I stood, I think he would have been pleased with the service as a whole, having it played out just as he had planned it. Psalm 23 is for the nearly dead, the dying, a comfort of God's assurance as it was for Robert. Thanks be to God. Psalm 23 is rightly so a funeral text, an end times poem. Psalm 23 is also for the living. So let's sing about that. There are lots of versions of Psalm 23 put to song. This one, I think, is my favorite, mostly because I can hear my mom singing in her very soft alto voice that part where just the women sing. So this is the one that sticks out to me. So the poem begins, and the great metaphor emerges. The Lord is a shepherd. Forgive me for being presumptuous, but my assumption is that not many of us presently live on a farm with sheep to steer and shear and shelter. I will venture to guess, though, that several of you grew up around such animals, working the land and tending flocks or herds or roosts, and you could speak much better about that than I. The closest I came to it was probably when I was a residence hall director at Abilene Christian, and I was in charge of 250 first-year college students, boys becoming men, basically, and the smell coming from some of their rooms felt like I was living in a barnyard, but no actual sheep in my professional experience. I don't think, however, that it takes much to imagine what a shepherd does or is supposed to do. Take care of the creatures in front of you. Psalm 23 tells us as much. A good shepherd provides green pastures, food, still waters, drink, right paths, protection. This is the poet's core metaphor, that the Lord as shepherd is one who provides for us, protects us, leads us. The Lord is my shepherd. To claim the Lord as your shepherd unavoidably means that someone else is not your shepherd. Not another leader or king, not a superstar preacher, not even your favored politician. The Lord is my shepherd, the one who provides, protects, and leads. You'll need to confess that often and come back to it just as much, because the next part of the poem is about to make its wild claim, I shall not want. The poet has pulled a fast one on us, because right away we know that it's false. Who can speak this verse aloud with any integrity? The truth is, there are so many things we do want. We want to be liked. We want to be loved. We want to do well. We want better things. We want a bigger church. We want more excitement. We want to be convinced that we have to have what we don't have. We want life to give us what we want for a change. We want, we want, we want. Listing them in our mind is exhausting. And yet, as non-satisfying as our wants are, we continue our hungry hunt of them nevertheless. Against that, this poem says, I shall not want. I shall not want because the shepherd gives me what I need. Food and drink for today, a right path, a good path for today. What feels false, I shall not want, is in fact deeply true. I shall not want. There is nothing that I lack. I already have every single thing that I need. The poet's language invites us to find our own vernacular about what we have come to believe about living under God's care. That is the magic of this psalm. While the poet's fields of green and still waters and sheep trails fit his purview of the world, it might not yours. In that case, ask yourself, what does? It might be the bedroom closet you go into to pray, or the garden in your yard you tend to faithfully, or the concrete road around your neighborhood you walk each morning. What is it and where is it that restores your soul, that enlivens you? And why? What have you come to believe about living under God's care? It's there that we open up our hands and receive the shepherd of our days, the provider, the restorer. Let's sing again. It's an extraordinary expression of the poet's relationship with God. Though the sun's rays do not reach the depth of this valley I am in, though I have no street lamps to mark the way, though who knows what is creeping about in the shadows, I will not fear, I will not be afraid. And why? Because you, God, are with me, providing all the tools and courage and strength that is needed. The psalmist never pretends that dark valleys do not exist. Nor does the poet deny that it is the shepherd who is supposed to be good that leads him there in the first place. While that fact was surely a surprise, it also goes to show that the lack of light in these canyons does not mean the absence of God. Some of the most incredible people I have met are folks who, despite all the evidence, continue to believe that God is with them. I have sat in hospital rooms, I have sat at dining tables, I have listened to individuals over the phone lament what had befallen them, a sudden or lengthy or permanent stay in Death's Valley. What they could have done was curse God and die, or walked away from it all, and I would not have blamed them one bit. But what they did and said instead was sing. What they did instead was nod their head yes when I asked them if they were at peace. What they did instead was end with, "Guess I'll see you at church on Sunday." It was as if they had learned to walk in the dark, not by sight, but by faith and by ears. "This way," the shepherd says, "I'm right here." Let's sing again. The poem's metaphor shifts here in the fifth verse from "the Lord is my shepherd" to "the Lord is my host." No longer are you a sheep, you are human again, thank goodness. And the host, God, has set a table for you. It's not the other way around, as you might think it should be, where you set the table, do the shopping, the cooking, the serving. God has it already taken care of, already prepared. Don't worry about bringing a dish to share or who's going to scrub the pots later. Don't worry that your hair is not combed, that your makeup's not applied. I know that you don't have time to change your clothes. The trail through Death Valley has never been the cleanest one. Enemies may have denied you a seat in there, but that won't happen here. God has a place reserved for you just as you are. Chair pulled back, sit. The host does for the guest what the good shepherd does for the sheep. Food, drink, protection. It may not seem like much at first, especially not with foes looking just over your shoulder. But look also at the host with a towel around his waist. His love for you is great. His love for you is great. Look at the host's provisions before you, an abundance of grace for a weary traveler. Feel your head anointed with oil, a sign dripping with meaning and blessing. Your cup runneth over. Yes, the company of evil will hang near. Enemies will get too close. The hot breath of sin and death will stay on your neck. Threats and conflict will not disappear. But the presence of the host promises to remain as well. And with it, the table of fellowship, the meal of restoration, the Holy Supper. It will always be ready for you whenever you find yourself or wherever you find yourself. And to it, you can always return. What you might experience is a response best described as thanksgiving, as gratitude. Because our last verse declares this. goodness and mercy will follow you around everywhere. It will pursue you. It will hound you, is probably a better way to put it. When you have turned away, goodness and mercy did not. When you cut left or right, they do too. When your sprint slows to a trot and your trot to a walk, goodness and mercy will keep pace. Your very being, restored, has found its resting place in God. So may the shepherd restore you, whatever that looks like for you. May you fear no evil as you remember that darkness has no power in the Lord's presence. And may the goodness and mercy of God follow you, chase you, and pursue you with holy intent all the days of your life. And together we can say, or we can type, amen and amen. We have a time for intercessory prayer this morning. Our sisters Ruth and Mercy have both agreed to be intercessory prayer partners. So Ruth, how about you go to this side, and Miss Mercy, how about you go near the sound booth? If you want to be prayed over by one of these women today, you can do that. If there's a celebration that you would like to share, if there's a confession, if there's something that you need, they will receive you, they will welcome you, they will pray over you. You can go to them during these next two songs. So let's stand as we sing together.
As your children gather in peace, all the angels sing in heaven. In your temple, all that I seek is to glimpse your holy presence. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord. How much less to dwell in me? I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. All the angels exalt you on high. What a kingdom to depart, but you left your throne on sky just to live inside my heart. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord, how much less to dwell in me? I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. All the heavens cannot hold you, Lord. How much stress to dwell in me? I can only make my one desire, holding on to thee. The Lord our God is with you. He is mighty to save. The Lord will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. The Lord our God is with you. He is mighty to save. The Lord will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you. He will rejoice over you. He will rejoice singing. The Lord our God is with you. He is mighty to save. The Lord will take great delight in you. He will quiet you His love. The Lord our God is with you. He is mighty to save. The Lord will take great delight in you. He will quiet you His love. He will rejoice over you. He will rejoice over you. If you could only hear His voice, you would hear the Lord rejoice, rejoicing over you. Singing, He will rejoice over you. He will rejoice over you. If you could only hear His voice, you would hear the Lord rejoice, rejoicing over you with singing. Be seated, please.
The Lord has prepared a table before you, before us. You who are hungry, come and eat. You who are thirsty, come and drink. In a moment after I pray, if there are some of you who would like to help share the bread and the cup with the congregation at large, you can just come forward and help me do that. Let's pray together, please. You who are our shepherd and our guide, our provider, our restorer, we give you thanks. For Christ, who is all these things for us and to us, we give you thanks as well. Now for this bread in this cup, which remind us directly of Him. For it's because of Him we pray and do all things. Amen. All right, you, my friends, have an opportunity to give. So Glenn and Alex will walk around in just a bit. If you have any of those cards from earlier, you can place those in this plate. And any offering that you might have, you can place that in there or give online, bring it to the office, of course. Always, thanks as always. Let's pray, and these guys will walk around. Thanks again, God, for the ways that you provide for us, and now you continue to teach us what it means to be givers, and so we do that in one way this morning. So would you bless those who give and what they give, for it's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you today. Before I get to what's up on the screen, quite a few of you helped prepare lunches to serve to our friends at the Impact Church a little bit later. So thank you for arising early, for coming early, for putting together lots of sandwiches and food for our friends over there. We appreciate that greatly. Steve, what's the plan after classes today as far as going to Impact and serving? Okay, so 11:45, there's a caravan leaving. If you are interested to be a part of that but don't know how to get there or anything like that or need a ride, Steve Sandifer is your contact. 11:45 over in the small parking lot is where that group will depart from. All right, Thursday Bible class continues this week, 10:30 a.m., both in person and on Zoom. Our Wednesday night prayer meeting is also continuing here in our lobby, 7 p.m., if you would like to be part of that. And of course, we have classes for folks of all ages throughout our building, and we sure hope that you stick around and be a part of one of these smaller faith groups after we dismiss from here. All right, well, I'm going to read Psalm 23 from the Message, another version. So would you stand, please? Would you receive this benediction? Psalm 23 from the Message. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Go forth in peace and purpose. Oh my goodness. I was wanting that. Now I have. Martha, I'm so glad you're back and feeling okay. And Stephanie said there was some kind of false positive or something.